You're listening to As You Are, a space dedicated to celebrating the human experience for all that it is, and celebrating you for all that you are.
Well, Mikkel, how was your December? We took December off.
Mine was good. I tried really hard to be intentional about really slowing down. Since it was so slow, it ended up being my favorite I've ever had because it was just so cozy.
That's so lovely. I love that.
How was yours?
The same. Not intentionally, but just so much sickness that I felt like we had no choice but to like opt out of a bunch of family stuff. And it actually was really nice to be home and just, you know, I want to make sure that we are always practicing what we preach. And I feel like we did a good job at that, to not try and squeeze that in while our families were sick and holiday things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell me the best thing you ate this week. I obviously want to know that.
Should we just do a report?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
I feel like we haven't had like a full-on conversation. Like, we've texted and we've talked, but I feel like we haven't actually talked face-to-face in a minute. So I'm like, catch me up. I want to hear it all.
Yes. Okay, well, what are you reading right now?
It's called The Unmaking of June Farrow. I just barely finished. I loved it so much. I went into it I didn't read the description. It was just one that we were reading for book club, and I was like, okay, I'll get started. So I had no idea what I was getting into, and it's been a long time since I've been so like sucked into a story and like had to know what happened.
I love that.
I loved it. It was so good. And then today I just barely started Remarkably Bright Creatures.
I have heard about that one. I've had it on my list forever.
I mean, I'm only like a chapter in, so I can't say for sure, but I'm kind of liking it so far.
It's about an octopus. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
I don't know. That was so sinister. I am reading Throne of Glass. It's kind of an intimidating series to start because everyone has very strong opinions about what order you read it in. And then towards the end of the series, there are two books and they take place at the same time. So people recommend that you do a dual read so that you're getting dual POVs. But this is like such good writing and like such good plot. And it's very like sweeping is a weird word, but it's a little giving, like my hyperfixation on Lord of the Rings as like an 8-year-old girl. Like, it's delightful to me. I have sobbed so much reading these. And I'm not even to the last book, which I hear will wreck me forever. I'm also listening to the book Wintering by Catherine May. I just listen to it every winter, but she's British, so the audible is... It's so good. If you're just driving in your car, you're like, this is the greatest podcast I've ever listened to. It's so delightful.
It sounds delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, eating. I'm still stuck on my feta and egg situation, but we've switched it up a bit. So I'll tell you the new details.
Okay, tell me more.
So, little oil in a pan, get that preheated.
All right.
Then just a layer of feta. You're going to start sizzling that, crack an egg on top.
Mm.
It's like a feta-infused egg.
Okay.
And it gets like all crispy, crunchy. Still doing the sriracha, but we're doing sriracha honey combo.
Ooh.
And then just adding like avocado. I always put on hemp hearts.
She's got layers.
She's got layers. She's got a lot of depth to her.
I love that.
So that's just my daily. I can't stop. I'll never stop.
Sounds beautiful, honestly.
It's so good.
It's so lovely. I have recently become so hyper fixated on this sandwich they make from Trader Joe's. I've posted about it so much on Instagram, but this is your sign. If you saw those posts and you're like, I actually mean it.
It looks so good.
It's the only thing I care about. I will make it for you the second we are together again. I will bring all the ingredients. It's Trader Joe's focaccia bread. You mix half mayo, half pesto. I just use pesto from Costco. Some sprouts, some turkey, very thinly sliced tomato, very thinly sliced red onion sprinkle on. And the focaccia from Trader Joe's is sun-dried tomato focaccia, so you like have to warm it up before, so then when you slice into it and make the sandwich fast, it's like a hot sandwich.
That sounds so good.
It is so good.
Let's see, what's next?
Playing. What are you doing for fun?
I am going to my first in-person yoga class tomorrow. I'm so excited.
That's so fun. I'm so excited for you. I am also doing something very out of my comfort zone. I signed up for, there's some awesome ladies who do outdoor events. They did this year of adventure thing, and it's just like a monthly subscription, and you go and do an outdoor activity every month, and it's guaranteed that something will push you out of your comfort zone. So like January, snowshoeing, and February is cross-country skiing in the snow, and March is archery, and April is an e-bike ride in the sunset, and there's rock climbing, which makes me want to barf. Sounds so scary, but I'm excited to be out of my comfort zone with a new group of people and also new activities.
I love that.
I'm excited.
You have to tell me about it every month.
Yeah, I'm scared.
I'm so excited for you. That's good scary.
The first one's Wednesday. Yeah. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Obsessing?
Okay. I do have an obsession. I love reading books and looking up fan art. It's so fun. I love that people are on AI websites for hours trying to make this person that has never existed and will never exist, but we all wanted to see.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
I love it. Ooh, okay. So I did like a vision board night recently with friends and came up with the phrase a cozy celebration. And I feel like that like perfectly encapsulates how I want my life to feel.
Yeah.
And so I've been really obsessed with keeping that in my mind intentionally throughout my day and finding more ways that I can celebrate. And I don't know if elevate is the word I'm looking for, but like,
yeah, it is.
Silly little, I think I like this little life. Just more of that.
I think I love that. That's really sweet. I was like, I like AI art of books. And you were like, I like celebrating life. And I'm like, oh, yeah, for sure. What are you recommending right now?
I'm recommending you get yourself on some ChatGPT. Make yourself some fan art.
Listen. So funny.
What am I recommending? I was like, let's do a report. And I'm like, no.
Now you're like, head empty, no thoughts. Okay. I have these journals on my side table. And here's a little manifestation story. I wrote down in my notes app that I just really wanted to write down something that I love or I'm grateful for about my kids every single day. Because it's just like little things you forget when they're bigger. Like even a year ago, there's stuff that I really don't remember. So I wrote that down. And then I was wandering a shop with my sisters that day. And there were these two gorgeous journals left. And they just said, grateful for you. And they're for that exact thing. They're for your kids. And it's just really short form, which works better for me for journaling. Because it already like, I feel like has made my interactions with my kids so squeezy because I'm like looking for those things and paying closer attention. And so I would recommend those 1,000%. But I think it's so cool that I wrote up my notes app and I'm like, I want to do this. And then there were just two journals left and I have two children.
I love it.
Cute, right?
Yes. Okay. That makes me think of, I just picked up a journal. It is called 365 Days Of.
Oh.
You base it on your like intention word.
Ooh.
And so mine is 365 days of celebrating.
That is so happy.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. What are you treating yourself to?
I feel like just really leaning into the coziness.
Mm.
I have struggled with this idea that I have to earn rest.
Yeah.
And instead just allowing that has felt so, so, so good. And it feels fun because I'm not making up invisible little rules of like, I have to do this in order to do this.
Totally.
So I just feel like I'm really, like really leaning into that and like treating myself to rest, whether my brain thinks I deserve it or not.
Yes. And it's winter. That's the thing. My treating myself is very similar. I feel like I'm just trying to let my capacity be what it is right now, which the days are shorter and darker and I'm more tired, and that's okay. So I'm going to bed really early and I'm going to bed with lots more things undone. Like my house is not in tip-top organizational shape and I tackle one thing a day, but it's not like New Year overhaul. Everything has to be different just because it's January 1st. Mm-hmm. Like I keep getting weather warnings about snow squalls and I'm like, it's snowing sideways. I don't have to be productive if it's snow squalling is what I'm trying to say. And I'm just treating myself to that it's a time for just hunkering down and not hibernating, but kind of. And it's
time for some honk shoes.
It's time for some honk shoes and some me's. And just
sure like is. Tis the season.
To channel your inner bear in a nightcap.
You know the one.
You know that specific bear.
Our sleepy time tea mascot.
Sleepy time tea. Yes. Yes. Like, just let yourself not.
Just let yourself not.
And that's the podcast. Just let yourself not. But I like that that's what we're both treating ourselves to. Because that really is the podcast, is this idea of wintering. And I have, like I said, been listening to that book again. And I think it's just, I mean, let's just get right into it. So this is from her book, Wintering, Catherine May, that I'm listening to. It says, plants and animals don't fight the winter. They don't pretend it's not happening and attempt to carry on living the same lives that they lived in the summer. They prepare, they adapt, they perform extraordinary acts of metamorphosis to get them through. Winter is a time of withdrawing from the world, maximizing scant resources, carrying out acts of brutal efficiency, and vanishing from sight. But that's where the transformation occurs. Winter is not the death of the cycle. It is the crucible.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that, like, if you can let it be that this is this lovely cocooning time, which maybe cocooning is like a creepy word, but I just think it's lovely to, like, let yourself be in that metamorphosis, let yourself be in that goo phase of, like, this is a time where I have less energy and this is a time where things are messy. And for me, that often coincides with winter in the earth, but maybe it doesn't. You know, maybe you're in a season of wintering and you're listening to this and it's not technically winter, but I think that concept still applies of just being okay that you're going inward and being soft with yourself and actually, like, treating yourself to intentionally, I think I like this little line, but intentionally being with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like choosing my words wisely instead of like, oh, I'm so sluggish or like I'm so tired. It's like, this is a time for rest. Yeah. This is a time for retreat. This is a time for like going inward and choosing words that are supportive instead of mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's super helpful with wintering.
Yeah. Well, I this year have noticed, because I get seasonal affectiveness every year, like very badly. And this year actually has really not been that bad. In November, I did that challenge and we've talked about it on a previous episode. But just shifting the language and just like wondering if I treated myself that just like, this is the season, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I just have felt so much better this year than any other year. And like, we're now into January when things get real bleak. You know, you take down that Christmas tree and you're like, whoa. And I'm actually okay. And I think there's a couple factors for that that I think help me, but a big part of it has just been changing the language, which like I'm not really doing anything different, but instead of being like, oh my gosh, I'm so depressed or I can't accomplish anything, I'm like, yeah, it's winter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna do less and I'm gonna commit to less, and that doesn't mean that I can't get my craft together. I think a huge shift for me this year too, and I have lightly done this in the past, but I'm really committed to it, is like, January is not the time for goals. I love to do a vision board because I love to pick up the vibe of the year, like the energy that I want to call in, but it's not a time for hard and fast rules. It's not a time for me to, like I said, overhaul my life or reorganize my whole house. It's just a time to ease in.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels so much better for me.
Yeah. I don't know what exactly shifted or if cancer like forced me to shift this, but I used to be like, I have to do the deep clean. I have to do this, and like really forced these things on me when I'm like, I don't feel like doing this. Like, this does not feel good.
Yes.
And this year and the past few years, but especially this year, like really intentionally just taking my time, putting the Christmas stuff away, taking my time with like all of it and not forcing any sort of goals or ideas, but yeah, catching the vibe,
right?
Getting an idea of what I want it to feel like, but no forcing.
Yeah. And I think it's really important as we're like going through wintering, whether it's with the earth and the seasons, or you're just in a season where you have limited capacity. Two things I think is like understanding that it's inevitable. Nothing in earth stays constantly in spring and summer. Like even in really warm climates, there are shifts year round. And you cannot live a life so controlled or so disciplined that you can escape your winters. Accepting that and being prepared for them is huge. In Catherine May's book, she talks about how, I think in Denmark, they start preparing for the winter in August. She talks about how you have to take sufficient provisions and be prepared. We can take that, like, of course, thinking about our homes, simplifying things so that when this time of lower energy comes, whether it's due to a crisis or a trauma or just the earth is really cold and it's snow squalling outside, it's okay. Like, we were prepared and it's simpler and it's okay and things were kind of in place. Knowing that about ourselves mentally, it's a call before we get called into a winter to have things in place, to have resources in place. And I think that's such a call in for me when I think about wintering, to maintain the practices that really work for me before I'm like underwater or before I'm in a winter. Like therapy, like over the summer, I'm like, I feel great. I don't need anything. Honestly, I'm like, I'll just come tell you a silly, goofy story about my summer. But maintaining that touchstone helps me so that I've been practicing skills with her and like sharing pieces of my life. And so then it hits winter, and when things are a little harder or my capacity's a little less or those self-critical thoughts come up more, I have been preparing for winter. And so I think looking at ourselves and knowing that we can reach for help and we can kind of prepare for winter before we're like in the depths of it, and that that's actually essential so that we survive the winter. You know, there's like a million metaphors in there, but I think that's really important to think about with your wintering. So if you're not in a season of wintering as you're listening to this and you're like, I'm actually doing really well, what can you add in or implement that will prepare you for winter? Because winter is inevitable, and that's not a negative thing, mm-hmm. but just what can you do to prepare for winter? What does that look like?
Yeah. I love all the silly little metaphors. I was thinking about that today because it is, I mean, for me, where I live, it is chilly to me. I live in Southern Utah. So like my chilly is anything below 60, but right now it's like between 30 and 40. And this is the first year I've ever had a real winter coat.
Mm.
Living here, I can get away with just kind of like shivering my way through 2 months. And I'm like, okay, we're good.
Totally.
But I decided this year, I was like, we're going to prepare. We're going to have warm clothes and see if it makes me more of a winter girly. And surprise, it did. Wearing an actual like winter coat has been shocking to me. Like, I know it's so obvious, but to like actually feel, not that I've been like comfortable, but I'm not rigid and shivering and just thinking like, oh, I hate the cold, but being like, this is better. This braces me a little better. I can soften into the discomfort and just sit with it and surrender with it instead of pushing back. And it's the silliest thing. Like, I could have gotten a winter coat years ago, probably should have, but I just didn't, because I was like, I'll just tough my way through it, it's fine, I don't need a big winter coat. But I'm so happy I did. Like, I'm so happy that past me did that for current me, because it's chilly out there.
One, isn't that like the metaphor of it all? I think so many of us wait until we are like drowning to do something.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I can get by, but that doesn't mean that it is what's good. Winter can be pleasurable. I've been walking lately in the morning with my friends, and in previous winters, I'm like, oh, I'm so bummed I can't go on my morning walk because it's so cold. But I have been like, no, I really need that. I really need to be out of my house and see the sunrise. And this is my only opportunity, especially because it's dark by 4 p.m. And so I've been waking up and bundling, and it is so cold. And I come home and like my cheeks take forever to thaw, but I feel better and it's doable. And it's because I'm like actually layering up and getting out there and facing it instead of just being like, oh, because of this, like I'm stuck,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think taking steps before you're underwater and also realizing that you can take steps feels so empowering. So looking in your winters, whether it's a season, like you're actually in the cold, or if it's something difficult that's going on, of just what can I do that will help me not feel comfortable, not feel like this is my favorite thing, but that I can move forward and that I can go about doing what I need to do. What does that kind of support or preparation look like? And what does that courage to move through it instead of avoid it look like? I think those go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like what you're saying about like, just because you can get through it and survive it doesn't mean you have to be suffering so deeply. There are things you can do. You can ask for help, as scary as it is. You can seek out these rituals and these things that you have leaned on in the past. Like, you don't have to weather it alone.
Mm-hmm.
There's a poem I love called December Dark. Let me read it to you.
Yeah, I want to hear.
Take solace in gentle rhythms of ritual, in ceremonies of the ordinary. Brew tea, fold clothes, knead bread, walk to the mailbox. There's so much to savor in slowness, when quality of attention allows noticing each detail. Wisps of steam rising, soft folds in well-worn shirts, hands and dough working together, snow crunching underfoot in moonlight. Celebrate this walk through dark days. This chance to do it differently, to revel in slowness while light waits its turn.
That's so lovely. What has helped make your winters, or this winter, more comfortable in that way?
I feel like this winter has felt different for me because I've been in such a long internal winter just the last few years with what I've been going through with cancer and just life. And I knew going into this winter that I needed a lot more rest than I wanted to admit to myself. In November, I did another round of radiation and that just completely wiped me out. And so while I was nudged pretty hard into a place of rest, I really embraced it this time. Instead of shaming myself and like trying to push myself out of that, I just leaned into it and gave myself to the rest and embracing winter in every way I could. I love this idea of like celebrating what winter is instead of just trudging through it.
Yes.
And there's some days where we feel like we have to just trudge through it, but like there's so many glimmers here. Like I love the word apricity. It means like the warmth of the sun in winter.
Ooh.
It's one of my favorite words because I feel like with having cancer, you really have to face, like death becomes a very intimate thing and it's not something that you can turn away from.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go through something and you don't know if there's a future for you, mm-hmm. like genuinely,
yeah,
I feel like there was such a big crossroads of like, what am I going to choose? Am I going to choose like the easier choice, which is just only seeing the bleak, only seeing the dark, only seeing the death? Or can I look for the apricity? Can I notice the warmth? Can I notice the light? Can I lean into the good parts of winter? Can I brew the tea and fold the clothes and like knead the dough and celebrate this walk?
Yeah.
I can enjoy the slowness and I can celebrate it while light waits its turn, but like the light will come back.
Yeah, that's what I like about that line a lot. Light waits its turn because light always comes. It always thaws. If you think about winter like a season, instead of, like you said, like giving into that thought that it is so bleak and this is so miserable and when is this over and like this feels like forever, or looking at it like there is light and there is a thought and this is a turn and a season and something to celebrate and fleeting, right? Like if it feels special and fleeting, then it is something so beautiful. Because I'll tell you, like my morning squall walks, all the little details that are so sharp in winter, like the edge of trees and just things that you don't see when they're not coated in that little golden bit of sunlight on the frost, you know what I mean? There's just all these little things that you miss. The way that the sunrise looks in the winter on the sky against the mountains with snow is so stunning. And the little, I live by farmland, so the little like barn kitty paw prints in the snow, like it all is so stunning and so sweet. But I have to get out there in the discomfort a little bit and get on that walk and bear the cold to notice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true of when we're in a winter. And obviously I haven't experienced the walk through the dark that you have, but I have felt like in my own times, even just what we're talking about these like little journals, you know, you have your like year of celebration and 365 days. So you look for something to celebrate, or I have these journals about my kids. So I'm looking for something to celebrate. And when the days are darker or you're walking through, that's what you're focused on. Winter is so largely impacted by our focus. If we focus on the moments, like you said, of apricity, I love that word, of feeling the sun, of feeling the warmth in the special way that you only feel it in the winter, like that very sharp sensation of it being that much more special, then it feels really sacred and it feels really exciting to winter, even when it's not always pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
We can celebrate it and we can prepare for it and we can step into it. I think that's such a nice idea and I love those words.
What you just said reminds me of, it's a quote by Henry David Thoreau. I think it's from his book, Walden. But he says something along the lines of, live in each season as it passes. Breathe the air, drink the drink, taste the fruit, resign yourself to the influence of the earth.
Mm.
It's one of my favorite quotes. I love him. But I just love this feeling of lean into it. Breathe the air, drink the drink, taste the fruit. Like, there are things that we can only experience in our winters. Resign yourself to it. As bitter as the cold is on your morning walks, there's magic there that is only available in this season.
Getting to know yourself too, about what feels supportive and what feels like a warm coat and what feels like apricity, and then really leaning into that. And that's not to like bypass, but to celebrate in a different way. And I think learning the difference in that, right? Bypassing requires you to like pretend it's not happening, and celebration requires you to be exactly where it's happening and to party with it, to invite it all over for dinner and mm-hmm. sit with it and see it. And I think that that's such a cool difference. And I love that as we're moving through winter in the earth and maybe winter in ourselves, I just hope that we all remember that we look for those moments and that we do what we can to support ourselves and to prepare. And if we're in a moment where it's not winter, that we look forward with realism to when it will be, and with kindness, that it's not, it's 0% a value assessment. It's 0% a commentary on us, our skill set, our discipline, our, you know what I mean? It's just nature, and we are nature. And apparently that's going to be our whole theme this entire season. But I think that's what it is. And I think that that's largely what has brought me a lot of peace in my 30s. And as I age and as I am a mom, is there are just seasons. Oh man, does that come into play as a mom? Is there are real, real winters with each child. And then they pass. They always pass. And whenever it's hard, I'm like, give it 2 weeks. And if it's so good, I'm like, give it 2 weeks. And that doesn't mean that. And that doesn't have to be negative or positive. It's just part of it. And just letting things be what they are, I think, brings such a sense of peace and calm to just know that it's not, there's no moral holding. There's no, I did this wrong, so this happens. It's just life. And I think accepting life exactly as it is, to hold life in your two hands and just say, like, this is what you are and I see you. And that's all you have to do in the winter, is to know that it thaws and it comes again, and that's okay.
Yeah. I think remembering that the decay and the dullness and the death and all of these difficult things in winter are just as much a part of the earth as the blooming and the becoming and being so vibrantly alive, mm-hmm. that the cadence and the rhythm, that's what makes the earth so good. And that's an essential part of our existence. It's not just the summers, not just the brighter parts, but the long dark nights and this discomfort and just all of it together. And that's what I want to remember and invite in, is this reminder to not wish it away.
Yeah.
Is just to give yourself to it. And accepting can be a tricky word, because sometimes it's like, I don't want to accept this. Like, this mm-hmm. is bad. This is awful.
Yeah, sometimes it's triggering.
I think surrender is an easier word for me, a more gentle word. It's like, if I can surrender to this, if I can lean into it and give myself to it, I'll find myself in a place of acceptance, and I'll find myself in a place of celebration, and just trusting that it does thaw, that it does end, that the seasons change. And we always come back to it, but it's a reminder I always need again and again.
Mm-hmm. If you can practice one thing while listening to this, it's just the hope, right? The belief in the possibility that if you're in a winter, that spring will come. And if you are in a winter, that there is beauty even here, and there are things worth celebrating, and that there are moments of brightness and moments of warmth, and it's all happening if you could just give yourself to it and be present with it. And we hope that you are, and we send you love where you are, and we're happy to be walking with you in the winter.